One other thing I'll just mention really quick. My dad and mom didn't come today because he's been working like 16-hour days, and he's been leaving the house at 1:30 in the morning. And he said, I'd like to be there, but, you know, I think I'm going to stay home and take a nap today. I says, well, Dad, I think it's okay for you to do that. I'm sure my mom's watching on the internet. So, but it's a joy to be here this morning preaching the Word of God. For nearly 10 years, I've been the pastor here, and for all those years, one of the consistent things we've done is study the Word of God together. Sunday after Sunday, the Word of God is preached. In Sunday school, on Wednesday night, it's taught. The Word of God is the foundation for our ministry, and there's no way that we could reach the lost across the street or across the sea without the Word. Psalm 119, 161, King David writes, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. David says that even though he's mistreated, even though he is bullied, that he still loves and desires the word of God. That should be our heart. That should be our heart's desire. We should delight in the book, but we should do much more than simply just enjoying the Bible. We should receive it. We should respond to it. If you haven't already, find James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we'll look at a few verses there this morning. We're looking forward to hear from James Bell tonight in the evening service. But this morning we're hearing from James from the Bible. James 1, starting in verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 21, it says, to receive the word of God. This is something that Jesus constantly, repeatedly talked about in his ministry. Mark 4:24, Jesus said, take heed to what you hear. Receive what you hear. Then verse 22, after we hear it, after we receive the word of God into our brains, right, what are we supposed to do according to verse 22? Respond to it. Now, this verse is so crucial to our thinking. In a nutshell, it says, it's not really about how much you know, it's how much you do. Right? Verse 22? Receive the word of God, then respond to it. Let's go a little bit deeper into this idea of receiving the word. Verse 19, it says to be quick to hear. Sometimes we cherry pick verses. You ever heard people doing that? They cherry pick a verse. They take a verse out of context. And sometimes people cherry pick this verse and they say, well, look, we're supposed to be good listeners. You know, husbands are supposed to be good listeners to their wives, good listeners to their children, and you know, everybody, we're all supposed to just be good listeners. And that's true. Husbands are supposed to listen to their wives and listen to their children, and children are supposed to listen to their parents. That's definitely absolutely true, but in context, this verse is not teaching that. This verse is commanding us to be quick, to be eager to hear the word of God. Foster a desire in your heart to have yourself under the preaching of the word. Or could we just say it like in a modern way, right? Take every opportunity you can to hear the word. Can you accept that? Right? Okay? That's what verse 19 is saying. Let me just be straight up with you folks, just 100% clear and honest. And if it seems like I'm picking on you, please don't take it that way, because pastors from huge mega churches, they are going to say the same things. It's not just me here at a small church. Pastors all over are saying the same thing, okay? It seems like people all over make excuses to get out of hearing the word. We have this reason, we have that reason, why we can't come to Sunday school, why we can't come to Sunday night, why we can't come to Wednesday night. And we seem to have tons of reasons. They just sort of come easy. Why we can't be under the preaching of the word of God. But this verse is saying it should be the exact opposite. We shouldn't be making excuses to get out of hearing the word of God being preached. This verse says you should be running towards it. You should be looking for opportunities. It says you shouldn't want to miss any time that the word of God is preached. Now, why is that? Why shouldn't we want to hear the word of God preached? Look at the greater context of James 1. Well, look at, I think, starting in verse 2, right? What is the T word there? Trials? Now, sometimes it seems like life is going from one trial to the next. Does that ever feel that way to you? It's just like another trial, and as soon as you get over that one, the next one starts. Well, the verses there tell us the way to get through those trials is through wisdom, and that wisdom is found where? The Word of God. Now, what's the next big problem that sort of happens in everyone's lives, starting in verse 13? After trials, we're going to face temptations. Now, how often do you face temptations? Like once a month, right? Maybe like biannually? No, like every day, right? Every hour we face temptations. Now, how are we going to be able to withstand those temptations? We'll read those verses. It's by the knowledge found in the Word of God. So James here is preaching to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, whenever you can, be quick to hear the word of God. Run towards it. Now the next phrase there in the verse 19 is, be quick to listen and then be slow to speak. And if you really get detailed into this, this is talking about a command to the teacher, a command to the preacher. Be slow, be deliberate, be thorough in your teaching. Never haphazardly approach the ministry of preaching and teaching. Take this job very seriously. Preachers definitely have to. And then the next phrase there says, be slow to anger. Now, be slow to speak is the command to the preacher, to the teacher. This is the command to the listener, right? Now, oftentimes when a pastor, and I don't know if James has ever experienced this, but oftentimes when somebody is preaching, what is biblical, when we're preaching what is biblical, what happens is sin is exposed. What happens is habits and mistakes are called for what they are, sins. Too many times we're off the time trying to like gloss over a sin and say, well, that's just a bad habit. You know, sometimes people come into a pastor's office and they say, Pastor, I messed up. Well, what was it that you messed up? Let's just call it for what it is. It's sin, right? And sometimes when we're preaching through the Bible, sin is exposed and consequences of that sin is also presented. And typically when we're called sinners, typically, when we're told there's going to be consequences for that sin, we don't like it. Our natural reaction is hostility. When the truth is presented and toes are stepped on, the anger sort of sets in. And then what follows behind anger is resentment and bitterness. Now, I know we're not one of those huge mega churches, and I don't have many examples of this, but it's happened to me before. I've been yelled at before. Because when the truth is presented, if it is different than what someone has thought it was in their minds, they get angry. If there's conviction, many times the first reaction is anger. Sometimes there's guilt, but oftentimes there's anger. I went to a Christian school all through high school, and I don't remember what year it was or anything like that, ninth grade, 10th grade, somewhere around there. And we had this preacher come in, and he preached for 3 days of chapel. We had chapel every day, and he sort of built up, and he was a really exceptional speaker. And the last day, he said, you know, you guys, you students need to get serious about your life for the Lord. And who here just wants to rededicate their lives to the Lord and just recommit themselves to living for the Lord 100%? And it was the same deal, you know, bow your heads, close your eyes type thing that pastors sometimes do. And I remember raising my hand, and he said, you know, I'm going to up the ante here a little bit. He said, if you raise your hand, I want you to come up to the front. Come up to the front of the chapel. So we had to go up there. It was kind of scary having to get out of your chair, right, and go up to the front. But you know what? We saw some students. I saw students that were out there, and lots of them were having different reactions. I think a few of them didn't even know what was going on. Maybe they were a little tired and sleepy. They didn't know what the presentation was about. They weren't paying attention. But there was some people who were crying. They were fighting, giving their lives completely over to Jesus Christ. Then I saw some other people with angry faces, just mad. Some of them were shaking their heads, literally straight up hate and bitterness. The Apostle Paul experienced this when he was preaching in Galatia. He wrote in Galatians 4:16, he said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" James says, hey, you know, when you hear the truth of the word of God preached, be eager to hear it, and then be slow to anger. Why shouldn't we get angry? Verse 20, the goal of preaching, aside from saving the lost, is to make people what with God? Right with God. You see that there, right? This passage is, I kind of like it because it's pretty simple to understand. It's all sort of laid out in an understandable way. When we get angry at the truth, it will do the exact opposite of making us right with God. It'll drive us further from him, that anger. So this verse, all it's saying is, don't fight conviction. Don't resist the truth. Yeah, it's a natural reaction. I get it. You know, I do it too. When I hear truth presented from the Word of God, something that my heart knows it's true, my first reaction is no. I don't want that. But verse 21, it says, put all that stuff away. Lay aside that filthiness. Get rid of that wickedness. And receive the Word of God. We have some extra time this morning. This isn't in my notes, but the Greek word there for filthiness, lay aside that filthiness, the word picture is if as someone's been working outside all day and they're just covered in mud and junk, and what happens when you go to the door and you look like that? What does the mom say? You're not coming to the house like that. I remember one time, I was working at a strawberry farm, and we would irrigate the strawberries, and there was a blowout. One of the irrigation pipes separated, and we saw water spraying, and what happened was all down the line, they all separated, and me and this other guy, we were running in the strawberry field, and we were like sliding in the mud and hooking up those pipes as fast as we could. And it was about 9 o'clock at night. I show up at the door, and my mom said, "You're not coming in the house like that." Anybody ever experienced something like that? This is the word picture that's being presented here. lay aside those filthiness. Take it off, all that mud, all that dirt, all that nastiness, that filthiness. Get rid of it. You know, you want to come into my house, right? I think God's talking about his presence here. You want to come into my presence? Lay aside that filthiness. Receive the word. The biggest hindrance to receiving the word of God is sin. We all know it. We know it. I'm not teaching you anything new this morning. We all know that the biggest hindrance to receiving the word of God is sin. So God says, deal with it. Never wait. Deal with the sin. It's just this massive barrier to receiving the word. This is kind of neat and kind of gross. Lay aside there in Greek means take off those filthy garments. But filth, the root word in Greek for filth, it was used in the secular writings of the day, and it refers to wax in your ears. You ever been driving down the road and you sort of feel something, so you like you think it's like a bug crawling in your ear, and you're reaching up there, and you all of a sudden you look down and there's this huge, just gigantic ball of wax on your finger. Anybody ever had that? No one? I haven't either. I've never had that happen. This is a very interesting choice of words here. Because what it's meaning is get rid of the stuff that's plugging up your ears so that you can hear the word of God. The truth is, when I see someone who doesn't have an appetite for the word, someone who doesn't really desire to hear the word preached, there's no great passion to study the scriptures, a couple thoughts come to mind. Number one, maybe they're not really a born-again Christian. There's no genuine salvation there. Or number two, there's sin in their lives. They're saved, but there's unrepentant sin there. The way to solve both of those issues is to confess your sins. Repent, remove your sins. That's how you're going to receive the word. Now here in the scriptures, there's a third reason why some folks don't want to receive the word. That's pride. See, it says receive the word with meekness. Receive the word with humility. Have you ever been there? Sometimes you don't want to listen to a preacher or a teacher because, well, A, I'm smarter than them, and B, I have my own agenda, and what they're teaching doesn't fit. You know, sometimes we have those thoughts. God tells us, and this is a wake-up call, my friends, cast off sin. And humble yourselves in obedience. Don't ignore the truth of the word of God because of some selfish pride issue. Well, you know what, Josh? I'd listen, but I really don't like you that much. Hey, you know what? That's entirely possible that there's somebody here that doesn't like me that much because I failed you in some way. Maybe I've said something wrong, done something that I shouldn't have, or made a poor decision. Entirely possible because I'm human. What I'm urging you this morning to do is don't let my humanness get in the way of receiving and responding to the word of God. I really am pleading with you this morning. Remove me from the picture and listen to the word. Verse 22. The running through the fields, getting all covered in mud, that wasn't in my notes, but the earwax was. Verse 22. It's great to hear the word. It's great to receive it. That's not enough. What matters most is doing it. Now, the Bible even goes as far to say that if you're just listening and not doing, then you're deceiving yourself. Now, I'm told that the literal Greek word for deceiving yourself is miscalculation. It means you've got it wrong. You thought you had it right, but you've got it wrong. You think you're doing things right when the fact is you're not. Now, there's one guy that comes to mind that probably was the worst offender of deceiving himself, Judas Iscariot. He was with the Lord Jesus for 3 years, and Judas, just like all the other disciples, walked with Jesus everywhere they went, ate with Jesus, was taught by Jesus. He heard Jesus preaching day after day after day. He saw Jesus perform great miracles, do all these signs and wonders, bringing people back from the dead, healing people that were blind from birth. Judas saw all of that. But you know what Judas turned out to be? He betrayed the Lord because he was greedy. Judas' only goal in life was money. Even after all those years of hearing Jesus preach that you can't serve both God and money, even hearing Jesus preach about how greed can ruin a person's life, I mean, Judas heard those words of Jesus. He didn't do them. He didn't live them out. He didn't apply them to his life. You know, we can hear a sermon every day, but if we don't do it, we're not going to go to heaven. We're not going to see any rewards. We're not going to receive any blessings. Question, do you want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? Why don't you raise your hand? Hint, this should be everyone. You want to be blessed? Look at verse 25. It says, look into the word of God and do what it says, and you will be blessed. Now, if you study Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the simple explanation, the simple definition of the word blessed is happiness. Happy is the person who does this. Happy is the person who does that. Blessed here, the simple definition is happiness, prosperous, successful, content. The opposite of blessed is miserable. Which one do you want? You want to be happy or do you want to be miserable? You know, so many people are searching for happiness. They're grasping for contentment and they want to be blessed. Here's how. Here's how. You know, I've been teaching and preaching since around 2001. I don't think I preached the first summer after my freshman year of college. I think I did teach a Sunday school class, so maybe like 2000. So about 15, 16 years I've been preaching and teaching. I've heard folks say, good message. People, as they're walking out, you know, they shake my hand. Good message. Gave me a lot to think about. You know, someday I'm going to blow your mind, and I'm going to say, cool, what are you going to do about it? Wouldn't that blow your mind? You'd be like, whoa, right? But that's the path to blessing, what we do about it. We don't really have time this morning, but in Matthew chapter 7, that same Sermon on the Mount, towards the end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about two people. And they both heard the word of God. One decided to do it, and the other basically let it go in one ear and out the other. He ignored the word of God. And the guy who ignored Jesus' words, his house was destroyed. And I imagine everything in his house, everything he owned, was probably swept into the ocean or the river or whatever it was. Everything was destroyed. And the interpretation is very easy. When we hear the word of God but don't actually do it, we're setting ourselves up for destruction. This means daily Bible reading and prayer, regular church attendance. It means nothing if you're not doing any of it, what the Word of God says. we know from Scripture that one of Satan's names is deceiver. I think Satan itself means accuser. But one of his other names means deceiver. He's the father of lies. That's what he wants to do. He wants to deceive us. However, if we hear a sermon, if we hear something from the Word of God and we don't do it, Satan has to do nothing. Because you've deceived yourself. He gets the day off. He just gets to sit back and just enjoy it. Look at those people. I didn't have to invest any time. I didn't have to call any of those demons that are attacking that place over there and bring in reinforcements. They're just deceiving themselves. You know, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, and he told us as well, it applies to us. He said, I'll be with you always. And that's true, and since we know that's true, we can do what the Word of God says. Because he's with us. Let's pray. Lord, what a great challenge from your word. We're just thankful that James more or less broke down your incredible Sermon on the Mount and laid it out in another way in this great practical form for us. And Father, I pray for my friends and my family, even folks that may be watching online. Maybe somebody that'll watch this 6 months from now. Lord, I pray that we would rid ourselves of all that filthiness and wickedness, that we would really just be open and eager to hear your word. Lord, maybe we're involved in something and it's not a sin, but maybe it's an excuse, and we're sort of not receiving the word as often as we should. We're not as eager as we should be. Father God, I would ask that your spirit would work in hearts and lives to renew a sense of urgency in our hearts to receive your word. Lord, all the time, you know, we've been talking about the last 10 weeks or so, different problems that are facing our church, and all the time, all ages, throughout all history, people have struggled, churches have struggled with doing your word, obeying it. Lord, as a church family this morning, may we renew our efforts to not only be eager to hear your word, but renew our commitment to obeying your word, living it out and doing it. Lord, we'd love to be known by you and recognized by you as a church that is just a church full of doers. Lord, perhaps there's somebody here that doesn't receive your word, doesn't respond to your word because they're not even born again. Lord, I pray for that person that they would make things right with you this morning, admit they're a sinner, believe in their heart that your son died and rose again. And confess your son is their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.